Bûche de Noël. Written by Nagi Sachan. Recorded by Super Sarah. Chapter 1. Baker Requested. Ladybug kicked her feet gently back and forth, idle legs dangling over the edge of the roof at her and Chat's patrol rendezvous point. It had been a particularly short patrol. They were in the middle of a quiet spell for Akumas, and the typical Parisian winter weather, cold, gray, and drizzly, meant that no one was outside who didn't have to be. The two of them had made it back to their starting point in record time, but despite the weather, she was loath to leave so early. There was a large pile of homework waiting for her at home, and she was not looking forward to returning to it. Chat Noir plopped himself down beside her. Was he also reluctant to go home? Just mirroring her? She wasn't sure, but either way, she was glad for the company. The two of them sat together for a few minutes in companionable silence. The weather really was rather unpleasant. A damp chill soaked into her bones in spite of the suit, and the mist was so heavy it coated her eyelashes, which she noticed every time she blinked. But still, there was something quietly beautiful about it. The warm glow of the streetlights, softened by the haze of a light fog, blinked down at the streets once bustling with people, now peacefully still.
"My lady, I wanted to ask you something," said Chat Noir, breaking the silence.
She hummed, lazily turning her head towards him.
"What's that?"
"Do you know how to bake?"
His breath clouded the air with a little puff of condensation. She shrugged.
"As much as anyone, I suppose."
She kicked her feet a few more times.
"Maybe a little more."
Baking was a pretty common skill, so she wasn't too worried about her answer revealing anything about her identity.
"Why?"
He shifted.
"Well..."
His next words came out all in a rush.
"Can you teach me how to make a bûche de Noël?"
An incredulous grin started to spread across her lips.
Did you say?
"A bûche de Noël. Yeah.
She laughed until she realized her partner wasn't laughing with her.
"Wait, you're serious?"
she asked.
"You want to make a Yule log cake?"
He nodded.
"And you want me to teach you how to bake it?"
He clasped his hands together, raising them above his head in supplication.
"Please, my lady. Baking is not one of this cat's many skills."
Ladybug looked at him, aghast.
"Chat, how would I even... Where would we do this? With what materials?"
He at least had the decency to look abashed.
"Why are you asking me for help anyway? Don't you have someone in your civilian life who could help? Like a sibling or a friend?"
Chat hesitated.
"There's one person I would normally ask."
He shook his head.
"But I can't in this scenario. Ladybug, please, I'm begging for a favor."
She studied her partner, who had shifted into such an exaggeratedly pathetic demeanor that she knew it had to be an act. His cat ears drooped, his lips trembled in a mournful pout, and... good grief, were those tears in his eyes?
"All right,"
she said finally. She could never admit it to Chat, but she was not immune to the pathetic wet kitten ploy. Chat Noir perked up.
"But?"
She held up a finger, desperate to maintain some composure.
"You need to grant me a favor as well."
"Oh? What's that?"
Ladybug froze. She hadn't gotten that far yet.
"I don't know yet," she said sheepishly. "I'll figure it out later if that's all right. In exchange, I'll help you bake a bûche de Noël."
She held out her hand.
"Deal?"
Chat Noir grabbed it enthusiastically.
"It's a deal."
As her arm was pumped up and down, Ladybug wondered just what she was getting herself into.
"I guess I better find a copy of Papa's recipe from the bakery," she thought to herself. "This is going to be interesting."
Bûche de Noël. Written by Nagi Sachan. Recorded by Super Sarah. Chapter 2. Baking Together. With a couple of well-placed comments after the latest Akuma attack, the pair of heroes were able to get permission from the mayor to use the kitchen in Le Grand Paris after hours. It was just as well. Marinette certainly couldn't offer up her parents' bakery as Ladybug. The two heroes poked around the gleaming kitchen, pulling out ingredients and dishes that they would need. It was a bit of a challenge to find the right equipment and ingredients in an unfamiliar space. Ladybug had to keep reminding herself that not everyone organized the pantry the same way her parents did, and she opened every drawer in the kitchen looking for knives before realizing they were mounted to a magnetic strip on the wall in front of her. She still fared better than Chat, who was given a detailed description of all the items on the list, yet still managed to find everything but what they actually needed. What exactly he was planning to do with quail eggs, a tub of lard, and a rice cooker, Ladybug would never know, and she wasn't sure she wanted to. However, they eventually got everything neatly laid out on the stainless steel counters. After double-checking that the doors were locked, they did not need Chloe or a clueless hotel guest walking in on them by mistake. Ladybug whirled around to face Chat Noir.
"Okay," she clapped her hands. "There are 5 parts to pa..."
She coughed.
"I mean, in this recipe I found."
She ticked each item off with a finger.
"The cake, the filling, the ganache, the sugared rosemary and cranberries, and the meringue mushrooms."
Chat Noir nodded.
"Some things need to rest a while, so I figured we could get started today and finish up tomorrow. Does that work for you?"
"Sounds perfect, my lady," said Chat Noir,
attempting to casually lean against the counter. He misjudged the distance and stumbled sideways. Ladybug, who was reading the recipe, did not notice.
"The first thing we'll want to get started on is the cake, and..."
She looked up at him with narrowed eyes.
"You said you needed my help. Exactly how much baking experience do you have?"
"Ah, well..."
Chat Noir held his fingers out in a tiny pinch.
"Something like this."
She should have figured as much.
"You can do the sugared cranberries and rosemary then. That's easy enough to start with," she said. "Just mix 1 part sugar and 1 part boiling water to dissolve it, then pour over the bowl of cranberries and rosemary sprigs to soak."
"Okay."
"I'll get started on the cake," said Ladybug,
turning the oven on to preheat to 177 degrees Celsius. After mixing the dry ingredients and carefully separating the eggs, she beat the egg whites and sugar together until they formed stiff, glossy peaks. She then took a brief moment to ask Chat Noir how he was doing. He gave her a thumbs up.
"Good, my lady. I already washed everything, so I just need this."
He gestured to the pot of simple syrup he was stirring.
"To finish dissolving, and I'll be done with this part."
Ladybug nodded. She began to beat the yolks with vanilla, oil, and more sugar. Finished with the cranberries and rosemary, and not having anything else to do at the moment, Chat sidled over to Ladybug, watching over her shoulder as the egg yolk mixture thickened and turned light in color. The whirring of the mixer was too loud for her to talk to him at the same time, but once she was able to flick the switch, she asked a question that had been on her mind.
"Why do you want to do this anyway, Kitty?"
His answer was quick at first.
"I want to make something for..."
He trailed off.
"A friend of mine," he said finally.
Ladybug raised an eyebrow.
"Why the long pause? Not sure if they're your friend or not?"
She had meant it as a light tease, but Chat actually frowned slightly as he answered.
"I think we're friends,"
he said with a furrowed brow.
"I certainly think of her as a friend, and she said that we are, but sometimes I wonder if she's just saying that so she doesn't hurt my feelings."
Ladybug had a hard time picturing someone not wanting to be friends with Chat Noir. She always imagined him in his civilian life as the class clown, the center of attention in any room he walked into. Well-liked by everyone, if perhaps a tad much at times.
"Why do you think that?"
she asked, starting to fold the egg yolk mixture, egg whites, and dry ingredients together. She probably should have found something new for Chat to do other than watch her, but she didn't want to interrupt the flow of the conversation. He hesitated.
"I think she's a bit intimidated by me."
"Intimidated? By you?"
Ladybug burst out laughing.
"What, did you overwhelm her with puns or something? Play one too many practical jokes?"
"No,"
said Chat Noir, hackles raised defensively. That only made her laugh harder. He looked just like a disgruntled cat, and his pink cheeks indicated a certain level of truth to the question.
"I mean, there was that one time, but we both agreed that was a mistake. Anyway, I don't even tell that many jokes when I'm detransformed,"
he finished with a pout.
"That's just reserved for me, then?"
she teased, pouring the cake batter into the greased jelly roll pan.
"Only the best for my lady."
He flashed her a grin, though his expression quickly flickered back to uncertainty.
"I definitely make her nervous, though," he said.
At some point when Ladybug wasn't looking, he had grabbed a paper towel from the roll on the counter. He began tearing it into confetti-like shreds with his claws.
"She always looks super stressed out when she talks to me," he said, focusing on the paper towel in his hands. "Her face usually gets all red, and she says strange things and runs away like she can't get away from me fast enough."
Ladybug paused, the remnants of the batter slowly dripping out of the bowl.
"Oh?"
"She stutters and mixes her words up a lot, too. I used to think maybe she had a bit of a speech impediment, but then I realized she wasn't like that around anyone else. So there's something about me specifically that freaks her out," he said dejectedly.
"Oh. I don't think you have anything to worry about, Chat Noir," she said, feeling oddly detached. "I'm sure she likes you just fine."
Chat Noir brightened as he turned towards her, accidentally knocking over his paper towel shreds.
"You really think so?"
he asked, diving to pick them up. He beamed up at her from the floor.
"That's great! I'm so glad!"
He broke off with a puzzled expression.
"Are you all right, my lady? You have a bit of a funny look on your face."
"Everything is perfect,"
she said loudly, too loudly, going by Chat Noir's wince. She banged the cake pan against the counter a couple of times and convinced herself it was just to pop any air bubbles in the batter. She put the cake in the oven and took a deep breath.
"Now we need to make the cake filling and meringue mushrooms," she said, turning to face him.
"Ooh,"
said Chat Noir, willing to go along with her change of subject.
"I'll make the mushrooms," he volunteered.
Ladybug looked at him doubtfully.
"Are you sure? Meringue can be kind of tricky."
Chat Noir gave her two thumbs up.
"I've made macarons before. This cat has it in the bag."
She shrugged.
"I'll make the filling then."
Into the stand mixer went the heavy whipping cream, vanilla, and cocoa powder. She was just about to add the powdered sugar when the oven beeped, letting her know the timer was almost up. She hurriedly measured out the sugar and flipped the mixer on while she went to grab the cake from the oven.
"Looking good,"
said Chat, breaking his focus from separating eggs to take a glance at the cake. Ladybug had no time to respond, as she immediately turned the cake out onto a clean kitchen towel and started to roll it up like sushi. She breathed a sigh of relief when she finished without causing any breaks or cracks. She set the cake aside to cool, then made it back to the mixer to finish the filling. Behind her, Chat Noir swore under his breath.
"Everything all right?"
"Fine, fine,"
he said hastily, fishing something out of the egg whites, presumably a bit of broken shell. Ladybug added mascarpone to her whipped cream mixture, then switched the mixer back on to finish whipping up the filling to stiff peaks.
"So, why a Bûche de Noël specifically?" she asked loudly over the roar of two machines, her stand mixer and Chat's hand mixer. I mean, obviously it's Christmas time, but surely there are easier desserts you could have chosen to make.
No, it has to be a bûche de Noël,
he shouted back.
I overheard her saying that she rarely gets to have any, so I thought it would be nice to give her one of her own.
Sounds like me, Ladybug thought idly. In fact, just the other day she was telling Alya about how the bakery always seemed to sell out of every last cake, and the one reserved for the family would inevitably end up going to some desperate, last-minute customer who needed it more than they did. She didn't particularly mind, but now that she was helping Chat make one for his friend, she wondered if it would be a good idea to make one for herself later on. Chat made a disgruntled noise, setting down his hand mixer with a heavy clunk. Ladybug switched her mixer off as well.
What's wrong?
I've been whipping these egg whites for ages, he whined, and they still aren't getting stiff. I don't get it. They definitely should at least have soft peaks by now.
Ladybug leaned over to peek at his bowl. Instead of cloud-like meringue, the egg whites inside were still liquid and translucent, with large, frothy bubbles. She frowned.
Did any fat get in the bowl somehow? Like a bit of butter or a drop of oil?
She thought back to Chat Noir's muffled curse, and an understanding dawned on her.
You broke one of the yolks, didn't you?
I got it all out, he protested.
Ladybug shook her head.
Even the tiniest trace of fat can ruin a meringue, she said. You have to be super careful when separating the eggs to make sure none of the yolks get in the whites, or else it'll never whip up.
Chat Noir slumped forward onto the counter.
This is what I get for my arrogance, he groaned. Thinking I could take care of the meringue because someone taught me how to make macarons once. The pride, the hubris.
She rolled her eyes.
Even professionals can have a tough time with meringue, said Ladybug, going back to her bowl of filling. The temperature of the eggs, the weather, the type of bowl you use, all those things can make it not turn out. I've made plenty of failed meringue and macarons.
Chat Noir looked up at her with big eyes.
You have? It's not just me?
It's not just you, she said, giving him a pat on the head. Now,
she dipped a tasting spoon into her bowl of finished filling.
You want to taste test this for me, kitty?
She asked, waving the spoonful in front of him. Chat Noir perked up instantly, gleefully shoving the spoon into his mouth. He froze. His eyes were wide, but not with delight. He swallowed, the lump of filling seeming to go down his throat like a rock, his grin becoming more of a grimace.
It's certainly unique, my lady, he said. Remind me, what flavor is this supposed to be exactly?
Ladybug took a swipe at the bowl and gagged the second the filling hit her tongue, immediately spitting it into the sink.
Blah! That's terrible!
Instead of a fluffy, sweet, and creamy filling, it was gritty and extremely bitter. A quick glance at the counter revealed her mistake.
Oh no! I accidentally grabbed the baking powder instead of the powdered sugar!
Said Ladybug, clapping a hand to her forehead. She looked sympathetically at Chat Noir, who was guzzling a glass of water.
Sorry, Chaton. I shouldn't have asked you to taste that.
I'll eat anything my lady makes for me, he said loyally. Just, maybe not very much of it.
After dumping their respective meringue and mascarpone filling failures, the two heroes agreed that it was probably best to call it a night.
Besides, Ladybug stifled a yawn. We accomplished everything that we needed to get done early, she said, putting away the last of the dishes. We can redo the mushrooms and the filling tomorrow.
Once she returned home, Marinette just barely remembered to detransform. Murmuring a sleepy goodnight to Tiki, she collapsed onto her bed and was out like a light.
Bûche de Noël. Written by Nagi Sachan. Recorded by Super Sarah. Chapter 3. Baking. Alone. Ladybug paced the length of the kitchen at Le Grand Paris, waiting for her partner to arrive. Step, 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 pivot. In the distance, she heard the bells ring the hour. No chat. Step, 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 pivot. Quarter past. Still no chat. Step, step. She heard a noise and turned prematurely, but it wasn't her kitty coming in through the window, just the wind outside. Where was he? It wasn't until 18.5 minutes past the hour that Ladybug finally got a message from him on the bug phone. It buzzed at her hip, and with trembling fingers, she slid the top of the case up so she could read the screen. Chat Noir.
Hey, Bugginette.
Chat Noir.
Sorry, I'm caught up with something in my civilian life.
Chat Noir.
Can we finish the cake tomorrow night instead?
Ladybug. Ladybug is typing. Ladybug. Ladybug is typing. Ladybug. Ladybug is typing. Ladybug.
No problem.
Ladybug.
See you tomorrow.
Chat Noir. Hard-eyed cat. Cake. Log. Ladybug. Ladybug sighed. All that work. All that waiting for nothing. She turned towards the door to leave, but something kept her rooted in place. She looked back down at the screen, the hard-eyed cat emoji staring back up at her. She closed the yo-yo with a snap.
Tiki, de-transform me.
The magic faded away, leaving Marinette standing in the kitchen with a very confused Kwame.
Why did you de-transform?
Asked Tiki.
Don't you need to get home first?
Marinette shrugged.
I figured that since we're here already, I might as well make something.
She cracked her knuckles.
You like sugar cookies, right, Tiki?
That evening, Marinette had a much more peaceful baking experience. There were no watery meringues or baking powder-flavored desserts. But she was surprised to find herself mourning the empty space caused by Chat's absence. Missing were his jokes and goofiness. And yes, his lack of experience in baking was also kind of charming in its own way. Moreover, there was the simple warmth of baking with another person. She had Tiki, of course, but it wasn't the same. She stared down at the freshly baked cookies, ready to be iced. She had meant to make an assortment of shapes, but somehow they all ended up looking like cat paws. She gripped the edge of the counter.
Who do you think she is, Tiki?
Tiki, who had been playing some sort of solitary version of hide-and-seek, floated back over to Marinette.
Who? The girl,
she sputtered.
The girl Chat Noir is baking the cake for.
Tiki tilted her head.
Wouldn't it compromise your identities if you tried to find out? I didn't mean...
Marinette started piping an outline of icing onto one of the cat paws.
I'm not literally asking who she is. I just... What kind of person do you think she is?
Tiki hummed.
Does it matter?
Marinette nearly dropped the piping bag.
What? Of course it matters. Why would you say that? Does it, though? Chat Noir wants to make her a cake. You're helping him do that. What difference does it make what kind of person she is? Because!
Marinette squeezed the piping bag a little too tightly and had to quickly smooth out the extra glob of icing.
If we don't know anything about her, we don't know how she'll react. React?
She waved her arms wildly.
To the Bûche de Noël! I know Chat Noir can be obnoxious and talks a big game, but he really does wear his heart on his sleeve. This girl, what if she doesn't accept his cake? What if she says she doesn't like chocolate? Or she secretly hates him or something? She could really hurt him. She could.
Marinette sighed.
He's so excited about this. I don't want my chaton to be sad. I don't think that will happen, said Tiki. Didn't you say it sounded like she likes him?
Marinette thought back to what Chat Noir had told her, that this girl's face was always red whenever she spoke to him, how she stammered a lot and sometimes said strange things.
It sounded a lot like how I act around Adrian, she said reluctantly.
There was almost something worse about that idea, though she couldn't put her finger on why. A new scenario started to play out in her head. Chat Noir laughing as a faceless girl feeds him a bite of cake. Chat Noir wiping a smudge of chocolate off her cheek. Chat Noir leaning in for a k- Marinette violently shook her head, banishing the images from her mind.
You're right, Tiki. It doesn't matter.
She was quiet as she finished the icing and cleaning up. After giving one of the cookies to Tiki, she packed the rest into a cute little satchel, tying it off with a red ribbon and tucking it away to give to Chat the following night. But even as she transformed and made her way home, Ladybug couldn't get the thought of Chat Noir and the faceless girl out of her head.
It doesn't matter, she whispered fiercely.
Right? Bûche de Noël. Written by Nagi Sachan. Recorded by Super Sarah. Chapter 4. Baking Again. Chat Noir was extremely apologetic about standing her up the previous night.
The shoe... My prior obligations ended up taking way longer than I thought it would, and I couldn't get away.
Chaton, don't worry about it, Ladybug said with a laugh. It's not like you missed an Akuma. It's just taking a little longer for you to make your cake. Things come up. I can't blame you for that.
Still, I should have let you know earlier that I couldn't make it, he said ruefully. You came all the way over here and waited for... what, 20 or 30 minutes?
Over Chat Noir's shoulder, Ladybug's eyes landed on the cabinet where she had stashed the sugar cookies she had baked the night before.
Well, actually I ended up
She accidentally made eye contact with Chat Noir, which was a mistake.
Aying not very long. Because I left as soon as you texted and went straight home to bed. I definitely didn't stay here longer. Not to bake something. Something that isn't your bûche de Noël.
She trailed off into a nervous giggle. That was not what she had meant to say.
That's good, I think,
said Chat Noir, smiling uncertainly.
Though that would mean you went to bed kind of early. Are you coming down with something?
I'm as right as rain, said Ladybug,
ushering Chat further into the kitchen.
Let's just get started and not think too hard about anything I just said.
Once they were both standing in front of the counter, Ladybug unfolded the recipe, scanning it to find where they had left off. She cleared her throat.
So, the first thing we'll want to do is remake the filling and meringue. Do you want to switch? You do the filling and I'll make the meringue mushrooms?
Chat Noir shook his head.
No, I want to get them right this time. I'll try the mushrooms again.
Ladybug finished the filling in record time, now that she didn't have to worry about the cake simultaneously. Careful not to make the same mistake twice, she triple-checked all of the ingredients and gave it a taste when it was done, happily concluding that this version was fit for human consumption. She also ended up helping Chat with the meringue, coaching him through separating and whipping the egg whites. When he successfully piped the meringue into coin-sized rounds for the mushroom tops and cones for the stems, she gave him a high five, then smoothed out the peaks with a moistened finger. With the meringue in the oven to bake at a low temperature for the next couple hours, Ladybug tasked Chat with chopping chocolate for the ganache while she drained the syrup from the cranberries and rosemary, then tossed them in sugar. Setting those aside to dry, Ladybug put a pot of heavy cream on the stove, which she needed to heat until it was just simmering. While stirring the cream, she started to hum under her breath. She hardly realized she was doing it until Chat Noir started singing along.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Ladybug turned to him with surprise, her face flushed. It was an American Christmas song that Jagged Stone had covered recently, and it had gotten stuck in her head. Setting down his knife, Chat grinned impishly at her and continued.
Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time.
The chocolate abandoned, he started rocking out in the middle of the kitchen.
Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
He grabbed a wooden spoon and belted into his microphone.
In the frosty air.
Ladybug giggled. Amusement at her partner's antics was beginning to edge out her initial embarrassment. He thrust the spoon under her nose.
It's your turn, my lady.
She backed up a step, hands raised protectively.
Oh, I can't.
Sure you can, he said brightly.
She couldn't help it. Chat's joy was infectious. She leaned forward into the mic.
What a bright time, it's the right time.
Her initial words were hesitant, but Chat Noir's excited whoop encouraged her to go on.
To rock the night away.
Chat picked up where she left off.
Jingle bell time is a swell time.
Ladybug joined in.
To go gliding in a one-horse sleigh.
Chat Noir pulled her to the open part of the kitchen, an impromptu dance floor.
Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet,
he sang, giving her a twirl. She laughed and spun him back.
Jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle in the jingling feet.
All sense of hesitation or embarrassment was gone as they danced and sang freely.
That's the jingle bell,
sang Chat Noir.
That's the jingle bell,
sang Ladybug.
That's the jingle bell rock,
they sang in unison, then promptly dissolved into a fit of laughter.
That was fun, cheered Chat Noir.
It was,
she agreed. Her gaze landed on the stove.
The cream!
She yelped, hurrying to turn off the heat under the bubbling pot of heavy cream. Thankfully, the high fat content in heavy cream made it difficult to scorch, so all she needed to do was let it cool down a bit before pouring it over the chocolate. Once the cream and chocolate were mixed into a ganache that was silky smooth, Ladybug put it in the cooler to chill, pulling out the cake while she was in there. She plopped the cake and bowl of filling in front of Chat Noir.
It's time for you to fill and roll the cake into a log.
He bit his lip.
Are you sure I should be in charge of this part, my lady?
How can you say you made this roll cake if I'm the one to roll it up?
She asked with a jab of her finger.
I'm here to assist you, not the other way around.
Chat nodded.
Right, right. I can do this.
Gently, he unrolled the cake and spread a thick layer of filling over the surface. But when it came time to roll the cake, he hesitated again, hands hovering just over the cake. He glanced at Ladybug.
If I mess up here, we'll have to start over.
It'll be fine, she assured him.
Wish me luck?
Ladybug shook her head.
You don't need it, she said warmly.
A little bit of filling oozed out of the ends, but Chat successfully got the cake rolled in one piece. Ladybug clapped when he shot her a relieved smile.
Well done, Chaton!
The filled cake went back into the cooler to firm up a bit, and the two heroes worked on the less glamorous part of cake baking, washing the dishes. They chatted as they cleaned, talking about everything from their favorite Jagged Stone albums to the new Mecha Strike game to school. No specific details that would jeopardize their identities, but enough to commiserate over the homework they were expected to do over the break. It was nice to be able to talk about the silly things in life, something they couldn't usually do when preoccupied with Akuma attacks. Eventually, they got onto the topic of the holiday itself.
"Are you excited for Christmas this year, my lady?"
asked Chat Noir.
"Of course," said Ladybug, scrubbing a large copper mixing bowl. "What's not to like? There's no school, you get presents, there's lots of yummy food, and you have time to spend with family."
She handed the clean bowl to Chat for him to dry.
"What about you?"
Chat paused, staring down at his warped copper reflection.
"It's complicated," he said finally. "I like Christmas, but my father, well, let's just say he doesn't have a ton of holiday spirit. And he's a very busy person. So sometimes Christmas can be a bit..."
He shrugged, then started vigorously drawing the bowl. Ladybug's stomach dropped.
"Chat, I..."
For as much as she tried to avoid thinking about Chat Noir's civilian life, certain daydreams had managed to worm their way into her subconscious. One such fantasy was of Chat belonging to a large, rambunctious family. A mother who doted on him, younger siblings who looked up to him, a father whose affinity for puns rivaled Chat's. It was strange to have that golden bubble punctured.
"I'm sorry, Chat. I didn't realize."
She reached out to him, only realizing at the last second that her hands were all soapy. She pulled back.
"You know that I'll always be there for you, don't you?"
She hastily dried her hands on the kitchen towel, then placed her hand on top of his, which was tightly clenching the bowl. She gave it a gentle squeeze.
"It's you and me against the world, right, Chaton?"
He nodded. "Always," he said, giving her a small smile. "Besides..."
He moved to put the bowl away.
"Christmas last year ended up being much better than I was afraid it was going to be. I think I could be happy with something like that again."
His nose wrinkled.
"Except for evil Santa. I could do without a repeat of that."
Ladybug grimaced at the reminder of Santa Claus.
"I have to agree with you on that one, Kitty. In fact, let's make that no Akumas on Christmas, period."
Chat Noir nodded fervently in agreement. Done now with the dishes, Ladybug figured it would be a good time to make a second attempt at giving Chat Noir his gift.
"Chat Noir, there's something I wanted to talk to you about before we get back to the cake," she said.
"Oh? What's that?"
Ladybug licked her lips.
"I wanted to..."
She took a breath.
"I wanted to ask if you remember when we fought Chrismaster."
She said that in one breath. Why was she like this? Why?
"Chrismaster?"
Chat frowned.
"Oh, wait, that was Nino Lahif's little brother, right?"
He shuddered.
"Oh, yeah. I don't think I'll ever forget having to fight giant toy versions of us."
"Yeah, that was a rough one. And definitely what I wanted to talk to you about. I was just thinking about Christmas-themed Akumas."
A slightly hysterical laugh burst out of her, cut off by a sharp,
"Ouch!"
as she bumped into a corner of the counter while backing away.
"Don't mind me. I'm just going to get the stuff from the cooler. Okay, thanks, bye!"
The door clicked shut. Once she was safely in the privacy of the walk-in cooler, Ladybug let out a muffled yell.
"Stupid, stupid, stupid!"
she muttered, wrapping her knuckles over her head.
"Why can't I just spit this out? They're just cookies!"
The only other times she was this tongue-tied was when she was around Adrian.
"That's different," said Ladybug. "I like Adrian. It makes sense that I get nervous around him.
So why was this fluttery feeling in her stomach for Chat so similar?
I don't have a crush on Chat Noir, she protested.
She made a face.
Wait, why am I arguing with myself?
Feeling thoroughly disconcerted, she grabbed the cake and ganache and scurried out of the cooler. While she was gone, Chat had pulled the meringue out of the oven. She took over attaching the tops of the mushrooms to the stems using melted chocolate and guided Chat Noir through cutting a part of the cake off on a diagonal, then reattaching the cut piece as the start of a second branch. Then she had him cover the whole thing with the still warm but not blazing hot chocolate ganache.
Now that you've spread the ganache all over the cake, you want to make it look like bark by using a fork.
Chat Noir looked at her blankly.
What do you mean?
You just... Actually, just grab a fork. Grab a fork, said Ladybug, hurrying towards him. I'll show you, she said, positioning his hand with the fork over the cake.
She pressed up against him, resting her hand on top of his. She took a deep breath. As close as she was, something as simple as breathing taught her new things about her partner that she'd never had the opportunity to learn before. Like what kind of shampoo he uses. Something coconutty. Or what kind of cologne. Ladybug blinked. She knew this brand of cologne.
You wear Adrian the fragrance? She asked, stifling a laugh.
The back of Chat Noir's neck reddened.
All Plague will eat is camembert, so I have to keep cheese in my pockets for him. I need to use something so I don't smell like stinky socks all the time.
We're all thankful for that, she teased.
Ladybug took another breath to regain her focus, trying very hard not to think about how nice her partner smelled. She began to slowly guide the fork in his hand down the length of the cake, the tines leaving grooves in the ganache that resembled wood. It worked just as it was supposed to, but Ladybug found she was distracted. She kept wondering what Chat's hands felt like under the suit. Were they soft? She bet his hands were soft. They reached the end of the log, but she didn't move her hand. She was acutely aware of how close they were to each other. Her heart pounded in her chest.
Ladybug?
Chat Noir tried turning towards her. But she was so close to him that he couldn't fully face her.
I understand now. You can let go.
Ladybug relinquished her hand and pedaled backwards, her face flaming.
Oh no,
she thought, watching Chat happily drag the fork across the ganache-covered cake.
I do have a crush on Chat Noir.
It was a strange realization, neither helped nor hindered by Chat Noir, who was completely oblivious to her earth-shattering moment. There was something oddly comforting about that. Her kitty was still the same as always, even if her feelings towards him were new and alarmingly strong. While Chat Noir was still busy making grooves in the ganache, Ladybug unsteadily backed up a few paces, dizzy with... shock? Excitement? Anxiety? She couldn't put her finger on exactly what she felt as a myriad of emotions coursed through her, each more fleeting than the last. She knelt down and opened the cabinet where she had hidden the bag of sugar cookies. Tucked into the corner, behind a gigantic bag of flour, no one could have found it unless they knew it was there. Hooking her finger around the top, she hid the satchel behind her back and approached her partner. She swallowed.
Hey, Chat Noir!
Yeah, Ladybug?
I wanted to...
Her grip on the bag tightened.
That is, I wanted to give you...
Chat's expression was open and curious.
How do you feel about this girl?
She blurted. He blinked.
What?
She really should have expected this by now.
I mean, you're going to all this trouble to make a cake for her, right?
She babbled.
So I was a little curious. What is she like? What do you think of her as, you know, like as a person?
What do I think of her?
Chat Noir had quickly recovered from his surprise and began tapping his chin thoughtfully.
Well, to start with, she's one of the funniest people I've ever met. Her sense of humor is so offbeat and quirky. She's always doing or saying something that makes me want to laugh out loud.
Ladybug made a strange sort of hum in response, but Chat Noir hardly seemed to notice. The longer he kept talking, the more animated he got.
She's a really good leader, and she always stands up for what she thinks is right,
he said, waving his hands animatedly.
It gets her in trouble sometimes, but I really admire her for that. And also...
Chat's eyes flicked over to the Bûche de Noël. His bubbling enthusiasm calmed to a gentle simmer.
She's a truly kind person,
he said, much more quietly. Ladybug wasn't sure if she had ever seen Chat Noir wearing such a tender expression before.
She genuinely makes the world a better place just by being in it.
Wow, you...
Her mouth was dry.
You really like her, huh?
The words rang hollowly in her ears. He turned to look at her, a smile on his face with the radiance of three suns.
She's amazing!
Ladybug swallowed hard around the lump in her throat and dropped her gaze. Somehow, seeing that brilliant smile turned up at her, but not for her, hurt worse than she could have imagined. She cleared her throat.
That's good,
she said, discreetly shoving the bag of cookies behind a large copper pot.
I was worried that she might not be a good person, like, a supervillain. It would be just terrible if I had to interrupt your cake giving to punch her in the face.
She coughed.
Which of course I would only do if she was a supervillain.
I'm pretty sure she's not a supervillain,
said Chat Noir, looking slightly perplexed.
Right!
Ladybug nodded.
She's not a supervillain, because you think she's funny and kind and amazing.
Yes?
She wilted.
Well, that's good then.
There was a moment of silence.
My lady?
Yeah?
Is there anything else we need to do for the cake?
Right. There was that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Ladybug stepped forward and surveyed the counter. The cake was there in all of its log-like chocolatey glory, with the meringue mushrooms and sugared cranberries and rosemary in trays on either side.
We're going to want to pack these up separately, she said. If we decorate it now, the moisture from the cake will make the meringue mushrooms soggy and dissolve the sugar on the cranberries and rosemary. You'll have to decorate it just before you give it to her.
That makes sense, said Chat Noir.
Ladybug handed him a plastic storage container, then started carefully placing the mushrooms inside her own container, gesturing for Chat to do the same with the sugar decorations.
Oh, and you'll want to dust the whole thing with some powdered sugar if you can, she added. Like snow.
Done with putting away the toppings, Chat Noir looked apprehensively at the cake.
How am I going to pick that up without dropping or breaking it?
Ladybug grabbed a white cardboard cake box, opened it up, and placed it on the counter.
You and I are both going to lift up the parchment paper, and together we will quickly and carefully put the cake in this box, she said. Are you ready?
He gulped, then grasped two corners of the paper.
Ready as I'll ever be.
1, 2, 3, now!
The transfer went off without a hitch, and as Chat exaggeratedly wiped his forehead, Ladybug said,
You did it, Chat Noir! You made your Bûche de Noël!
Chat's brilliant smile returned.
Only because I had the best teacher in Paris.
Ladybug rolled her eyes, even as she felt her face becoming warm.
That's definitely not true.
It is, because I say so.
Oh, well, if you say so.
Oh, hey, said Chat Noir,
interrupting the banter.
Did you decide on what you wanted in exchange for helping me?
Her heart started to pound. Ladybug thought about her newly realized feelings for Chat Noir. She thought about the cookies still hidden behind the pot. For a wild moment, she thought about asking him to kiss her. She thought about the gentle smile on Chat's face when he told her how amazing the mystery girl was.
No, she said, unable to look him in the eye. I still don't know yet.
Take your time, Chat Noir said easily. And Ladybug?
He pulled her into a hug.
Thank you so much,
he said, squeezing her tightly.
You have no idea how much this means to me.
Ladybug tentatively wrapped her arms around him, hugging him back. She didn't need to see his face to know that he was smiling from ear to ear. Selfishly, she was glad she couldn't see it. She didn't know if she would have been able to restrain herself otherwise.
Merry Christmas, Chat Noir, she whispered into his shoulder.
He responded in kind, the unknowing cruelty of his earnest words pricking her heart.
Merry Christmas, Ladybug.
Boucher de Noël. Written by Nagi Sachan. Recorded by Super Sarah. Chapter 5. Baker Revealed. Marinette stared into the depths of her locker, looking without really seeing the stuff inside. It seemed like everyone else had already left the school, eager to start enjoying the winter holiday. She wanted to join them, but a gloom had been hanging over her since the previous night. The cookies she had been unable to give Chat sat on the shelf in front of her, mocking her. She wondered if Chat had given the girl his Boucher de Noël yet.
Hey, Marinette!
She squeaked, slamming the locker door shut.
Adrian! You surprised me!
Sorry, he said sheepishly. But I wanted to make sure I could catch you before you left.
He stood before her with his hands behind his back, his cheeks and nose dusted with pink. Marinette wondered if he had just gone outside. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed.
I wanted to give you this.
Into her hands, he thrust a white paper box. Marinette blushed.
Wow, thank you, Adrian, but I don't have anything for you.
Actually, she had about 30 gifts set aside for Adrian, but they were all at home. She was mentally kicking herself for not thinking far enough ahead to keep a spare present in her locker or backpack for exactly this kind of scenario. Adrian waved his hand reassuringly.
Oh no, you don't need to pay me back. I just overheard you saying to Alia that you don't really get to have them most years because the bakery always sells out, so I wanted to see if I could make one for you.
Something seemed familiar about that, but there was no time to think about it as Adrian continued to speak.
It's not much, but...
He shrugged.
I did my best. I hope you like it.
With trembling fingers, Marinette lifted the lid to reveal a Boucher de Noël, decorated with sugared cranberries and rosemary, meringue mushrooms, and a dusting of powdered sugar. It was a very familiar Boucher de Noël. It also didn't make any sense.
Why do you have Chat Noir's cake?
She said blankly. Adrian did a double take, then leaned forward.
Why do you know that this is Chat Noir's cake?
Marinette gaped at him. The implications of what she said, and furthermore, what he said, were starting to dawn on her. His eyes widened, as he clearly came to the same conclusions. Marinette could practically see the thoughts flashing across his face.
Lady...
Marinette slapped her hand over his mouth.
No!
She said with a tinge of hysteria. This was a very bizarre and vivid dream.
If you don't say anything, I don't have to consider crazy things. Impossible things. Nobody's identity is being compromised over a freaking Yule log cake.
Adrian's expression softened. His words were muffled by the hand still over his mouth, but Marinette still heard.
It really is you, my lady.
Marinette whipped her hand away as if she'd been burned.
It can't be, she whispered.
Everything she ever knew about the world was crashing down around her ears. She felt as wrong-footed as that time she thought Adrian might have been Hawk Moth, but worse. She had never truly thought her crush was a supervillain. She just panicked about the possibility. But this was actually... Adrian, meanwhile, was looking at her in awe.
Our everyday ladybug.
He chuckled and shook his head.
I really should have guessed.
Marinette was trying not to hyperventilate. She was not succeeding.
Marinette?
Adrian gently took the box from her and set it on the bench beside them.
Are you... I mean, you're clearly not okay, but should I be running for the nurse?
She shook her head. A nurse couldn't help her with the refrain echoing inside her head.
Adrian is Chat Noir. Chat Noir is Adrian. Adrian is Chat Noir.
Oh, all right then.
His hands hovered in front of her as if he was unsure what he was supposed to do with them.
I'm sorry,
he said awkwardly.
I know you didn't want us to learn each other's identities, and now we have. And that's definitely my fault. In my defense, I really wasn't intending for that to happen, but it did, and you have every right to be upset.
It wasn't your fault, Marinette blurted.
Adrian? No, her chaton putting the blame on himself cut through the noise of her panic.
There's no way you could have known. You just wanted to do something nice for me. How could you possibly guess I'd be the person you were asking help from?
She looked up at him.
I'm just scared. Master Fu always said it was too risky for us to know each other's identities. What if this puts one or both of us in even more danger?
Adrian grabbed her wrists, threading his fingers through hers.
We'll deal with it if and when that time comes, he said. You and me against the world, right?
His eyes were wide and earnest, and so very green. How had she never before appreciated just how beautiful his eyes were? Marinette kissed him. It wasn't the worst, as far as Marinette's limited experience with kisses went. No one was possessed or amnesiac, which was a step above the other times she had kissed Chat Noir. It wasn't the best, either. Adrian clearly hadn't been expecting her lips to crash into his, and had reeled back slightly from the force of her sudden movement. But there were good things, too. Soft lips and warm breaths, and a boy who, once he got his bearings, was just as eager to kiss her as she was him. Eventually, they broke apart, Adrian looking just as flushed and starry-eyed as Marinette felt. They stood there for a while, smiling stupidly at each other, when Marinette suddenly remembered that she did have a present for Adrian after all.
It's not much, she said, opening her locker. But I made them for you, my kitty.
She handed him the satchel with the red ribbon. Adrian pulled out one of the cat paw cookies and laughed with delight.
Santa Paws? Meowry Christmas?
Written in icing on each cookie was a different Christmas-related cat pun. He grinned at her.
Finally realize that cat puns are great?
Marinette grinned back at him.
Or maybe I realized.
She leaned in close to his ear.
That you are the cat's pajamas, she whispered smugly.
A brilliant blush crept across Adrian's face, all the way to the tips of his now very red ears.
These cookies are fantastic,
he mumbled, shoving one into his mouth. Marinette picked up the white box.
So, do I get to try my cake?
She asked.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian almost dropped his cookies when he fumbled for the fork.
Here.
Adrian moved to hand it to her, but her hands were full with the box. He froze for a second, then, with his face somehow even redder, scooped up a forkful of cake and started to raise it to Marinette's mouth. She felt her own cheeks heat up as she realized Adrian was going to feed her a bite of cake like they were lovers. Wait, were they dating now? They had to be, right? Before she could ask, the tines of the fork clanked against her bottom teeth. Marinette closed her lips around it and pulled away on autopilot. The flavors and textures exploded on her tongue. The spongy chocolate cake, the fluffy cream filling, and the impossibly rich ganache. It was, in a word, incredible. Marinette swallowed, then opened her mouth to say... A red blur shot out of her backpack.
Marinette, can I please have a little taste?
Asked Tiki.
It smells so good! Tiki!
Is all the kissing over with?
Asked Plague, floating up out of Adrian's bag.
Plague!
Hissed Adrian.
What?
Asked the Kwamis in unison. Marinette shook her head, setting the box back down on the bench.
You can have some, but only a little bit, she said firmly.
Both Kwamis zipped over to examine the cake. Tiki cooed over how beautifully it was decorated. Plague remarked that it was all right, but would be better if it was made of cheese. Satisfied that the Kwamis were occupied, Marinette turned back to Adrian.
So, what do you think?
He asked, scratching the back of his neck. Marinette smiled at him.
It's the best bûche de Noël I've ever had.
The flash of uncertainty melted into a slightly sultry expression.
Only because I had the best teacher in Paris, said Adrian, cupping her cheek.
That's still not true.
It is if I say so,
he crooned. He started to lean in towards her, but Marinette leaned back slightly.
I think I've decided what I want in exchange for helping you.
Once again, the irony of Adrian being Chat Noir struck.
For helping you make my own Christmas present, she said, sticking out her tongue.
Oh?
He hummed.
What's that?
Marinette brushed her lips against his ear.
I want you to challenge Kim to a push-up contest, she whispered sweetly.
Adrian shuddered from the contact, for a moment entirely distracted from what she said by how she said it. A few seconds later, confusion trickled through his expression as he parsed her words.
Eh?
No?
She snickered.
How about running down the hallway in your underwear? Telling Monsieur Damocles that the owl is your biggest inspiration?
Marinette!
Or...
She looped her arms around his neck.
You could kiss me again.
She stifled a laugh as relief flooded Adrian's face.
Yeah, I'll go with that one,
he said eagerly. They both leaned in for another kiss, but before their lips could meet, he whispered,
Merry Christmas, Marinette.
She giggled.
Merry Christmas, Adrian.
And a Merry Christmas it was indeed.